Okay. let's title this Unlawful Assembly. This is the season of, I don't know where you're listening to this. This is March 2020. The U.S. government's response to the January 2020 Chinese coronavirus began with a guidance to not attend large gatherings. And then, as time went past in January, and it got to where, our professional basketball, college, different sporting events were canceled, or even was the fans were not allowed to attend. The players could still play. People thought that was odd, but it got kind of weird. And then got down to where if there was gatherings greater than 50, they were trying to release, say no to that. And then I think our president had stated a national emergency, and it came out that gatherings should not be greater than 10. And then we started defining social distancing, where they didn't want people on buses or whatever to be, you had to be like 3 feet apart or 3 feet diameter. And even due to, I guess, what was going on in other nations, there was a lot of, self-quarantine, and people have been staying at home. That's not been true at my state. We're still running around getting shopping and getting stuff, but there's just the fear in the air of any second now they're going to say, hey, no gathering at all and stay in your house. Anyway. So that's how their government reacted and is still reacting, and they're doing a lot of things, testing and stuff. This podcast is not a reaction to the rot virus or a reaction to the U.S. federal or local government. I know a few weeks ago, or my city, state of emergency too. Anyway, this podcast is, I guess, a response, but not to... It's a response to another government's guidance. It's a response to a word I heard. And the word was, time to modulate your light. So if you don't know the government I'm referring to, maybe you should like leave this podcast or stay long. Or you may want to read Matthew 4:4 or Luke 4:4. If you don't got a Bible, you can, I guess, listen on. So I'm talking from I hope I'm responding from guidance from an internal, eternal government and not a temporary government that is abiding on this continent. Anyway, I also recommend, if you're still listening, take some time to get better at responding versus reacting. Sometimes we react out of a gut or emotional or out of fear stuff, but usually when we're calm, we can respond. Anyway, so work on that little tip for the day. But learn how to respond to authorities versus reacting. It's kind of like if you get pulled over with the police. Sometimes you're out of fear, you may want to react, but you get killed that way. Or in case of this timing, if you react, it could lead to bad stuff. Anyway. Back to modulating my light. I declare this is one of those days that Daniel spoke of. That's in the Bible. Look at Daniel 11:32. It says, but the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong, and shall stand firm and do exploits for God. Standing firm. It kind of has that sense of gathering together. Because you rarely stand firm by yourself, but you can. But again, from the hint of the title of this Unlawful Assembly, I'm going into that, I think we should assemble. Today, if we gather in a group larger than 10, it may be defined as an exploit for God. Man, the standards are getting so low. I mean, anyone could do something awesome for God. I mean, at a gathering, and I was on the way to a gathering. I wasn't concerned with the numbers, but we got a phone call, or we called someone, it was their birthday, along the way, and they asked where we're going. The first thing they said out of their mouth was, will there be less than 10 people there? I think we lied and said, yeah. But I was going anyway, no matter it was 10, 20, 50. I wasn't concerned about the numbers. I was concerned about doing what I knew was right to do. What I haven't figured out is why churches are not opening their doors. I said opening doors, they've closed their doors. Why are they opening their doors to all who need hope or even have symptoms? They seem to be reacting as mere men, and not as a people who know their God. I'm not dinging, I'm just, again just wondering what the hey, if anyone should be opening their doors, if anyone should be gathering, I think the people who know their God. So I'm kind of confused from that group point of view. I've seen many of these different churches around, at least around America, have been utilizing technology to gather. But I don't see the same benefits. I don't see the benefits of the reaction. I don't know, you know, people doing, you know, Zoom or live streaming or YouTubing. You know, I don't know if the technology supports what happens when people unite and really gather. This, I think this is only possible for people who unite. I know there's something. Anyway, I'll get to this. It seems they may have forgotten this one scripture, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. And you can, I mean, that when this first happened, or the first hint of not gathering, and when churches were, you know, I got a text that the congregation that I attend wasn't gathering, and other churches weren't gathering. Then I heard a rumor, I need to check this fact out, that some church gathered in, I think the state was Louisiana, and the police came and broke them up. What? Was it really unlawful to assemble greater than numbers of 10? But what do you do when the law says something and God says something? You know, I never thought I'd live in a day where, well, I mean, I have done a little bit of civil disobedience, where there's a law and then there's something higher than the law, and you stand with the higher thing. But this is like gone. This is national stuff. But here we go. So so the scripture is real clear. Don't neglect assembling together, right? And so these last couple of weeks, it's been kind of stirring in my own self about what do you do. Now, I'm not a pastor. I don't have authority over a group, so there's no one looking to me to make the call to gather or not gather. But I've been contacted about gatherings. I know I bought two tickets for, they're about $100 each, for a conference this month down in Dallas, and they canceled. So I guess I'm kind of judging everybody that's canceling. And the conversation about the postponement of the conference was interesting. You know, the first, I mean, in there they weren't afraid, and they were doing it out of logistics, as in they were concerned that people would fly in and not be able to fly out. Okay, whatever. Not my conference, so it's not my call. I guess I could have a conference and see who would come or not come, right? But would they come because God said so, or would they not come because of fear or by just with the law of the land? It's not really a law. I think it's a suggestion of the land. I don't think it's a law yet that you can't gather. Anyway, I just want to talk about, well, let me give this scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a discourse, a disclosure of a special knowledge of information, an utterance in a strange tongue, or an interpretation of it. But everything be constructive and edifying and for the good of all. I just had this feeling that there's times to gather, because in the gathering there's solutions. And in this 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you kind of, each one has a helm, a teaching, or special knowledge. And I believe that when believers come together And the Bible says, I didn't give you the reference, but you know, when two or three gather, there I am in the midst of them. There's something powerful about when we come together. I don't know, technology is at the place where that we can utilize, that we can support that kind of gathering. But let me just say, so before gathering stuff, and I know a few countries there's issues, but not, it wasn't even spoken of in America yet. But a few weeks ago, I was privileged and surprised to be in a gathering. And so let me share a bit about what can be released when we gather. I got to the gathering late. It was a normal gathering. This group meets every Saturday. It's supposed to be about 6:30. Usually get there between 6:30, 7 o'clock. This time I got there really late, like 7:20. And I was trying to decide whether to keep going to get there or to, bucket it and throw it down and not go because it's going to be so late. I actually got there at 7:40, which meant that it usually ends about 8 o'clock and I've been like 20 minutes. But it's in the past, 5 minutes when believers get together and the worship's awesome and God's presence there. If you don't know what this is, you probably should stop listening now. But there's something about when people get together to know their God, to worship their God, to give God affection. There's some scripture talks about we're building the throne, or the other scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people, and that's plural, right? More than one, more than two, more than three. I don't think it's mandatory more than 10. There's something about the 10 in the Hebrew culture that it needs a minion for prayer. All I know was I wanted to go to this worship gathering. I got there. I opened the door. There was more people than usual. I was like, whoa. They started way before me. And this place was hot. It was packed. I ran to get a chair. When I go to a gathering, this last couple of years, it's my custom to bring my drum. So I was like, whoa. And so I had to jump in and try to catch up where they were, right? So on this Saturday, the disciples, people who love the Lord, were gathered. And they were gathered, this is a normal place, but the place they gathered, that we gathered, was really a governmental seat. This is in the state of Oklahoma, so it was in Guthrie used to be the capital city of Oklahoma City and Oklahoma, but now it's not. I think it was the capital for a couple years, and then it was moved to Oklahoma City. But it's still... the people of God there, people before me that founded the place, have really, I think, just, I don't know what the right word is, opened a door. They've been faithful, been good stewards. I don't know, but it's a special place, right? And so people had come and gathered on the Saturday night. Place was filled, they were gathered in this gate, if you will. And as I opened the door and came in and saw the people dancing, moving, worshiping, people eyes closed, eyes open, hands up, hands down, dancers, flags, whatever movement, sound, the worship team was singing something, and it wasn't, I don't think a recorded song, but it was something that was, I don't know, had the heart of God on it, but it was cool, and I got my drum out and jumped into the rhythm, and I tell you, the sound of worship, I believe, was really empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, he's the breath, he's the wind, and breath, wind, ruach, it's all the same. But I believe that through the instruments, through the people, there was a sound of worship was going forth. It filled that house. And as you know, I think maybe one of the distinction between this gathering and other gatherings, it seemed like these people knew who they were. And people who know who they are in Christ Jesus know they are seated in heavenly places. So the sound wasn't just origin of earth, it was origin in heaven. And so in earth as is in heaven, so this gathering was believers who came, I guess, I don't know, I was late, so I don't know how they got there. And there was people that I hadn't seen, I'd never seen. So they weren't there the previous weeks. I don't know what brought them there, but it seemed to be we were in that quote-unquote one accord, and something was going on. And now again, surprised, happy, and was trying to catch up to be where they were. And man, I say the worship, keyboard, drums, guitar, vocalists, people in front, people in back. There were people coming out of the congregation, out of the group of people, and singing new songs. Because in this environment, we have an open mic, so there were singers that are set in the worship team, and then there were people who just felt led of the Lord to come forward and sing and stuff too. Amazing time. And like I said, usually end, you know, it goes from 6:30 to 8, and all of a sudden, you know, and also, oh, that night I was supposed to have a business call at 8 o'clock, so it was kind of like I was to come in, drum, worship for a little bit, then leave to take my call. And a friend of mine was with me, and I got a text about 5 till 8 saying, "Hey, you know, you need to get ready for your call." And I was like, "This is way better than the call. I'm skipping the call." And right about that time, at 8 o'clock, I got a text saying the call was canceled. Yay! Right. So I got to stay engaged. And about 8:30, so now an hour into this, so I got there late. So 50 minutes later, my friend who was in the car comes in, and she had this look on her face when she walked through the door, like, "What the hey?" You know, because again, usually in at 8 o'clock, and she comes in at 8:30, and she's shocked. I guess my face probably looked the same, and now she's looking for me. And usually the room has, you know, a row of chairs, and then there's a dance area, then there's the stage, but the worship team's at. But at this point, the chairs were gone, moved to the side, and everyone was standing and jumping and dancing, and I'm playing my drum with my floor stand, so I had moved to the side, and she, you know, worked her way through the crowd and found me, and she says, "What is this?" Now, I had texted her saying I'm not going to the meeting, and she had texted me saying when she was going to go to McDonald's to go to the bathroom, and I said, "Whatever, there's a fire in here." That was my words. "There's a fire in here. You need to, you know." And she said, "Well, I'm just going to McDonald's and not bother." And I was like, "You need to get in here. There's a fire in here." And I tell you, and about that time, people were giving words and songs about fire. And I tell you, as they were speaking, it was like a pillar of fire appeared or came in. The place physically got warm. That's not a big deal because you're moving a whole lot. But people had words, and they were like, "There's a fire here. There's a fire going to different places." And I gave a word that the fire that arose here, like a pillar, is going to other gatherings, going to other places, other congregations, and igniting what God is doing. Someone had a vision of, they saw a field just explode in fire. And then they said that it seemed as the field was burning, that she was reminded that one of the actions in the agriculture world is you burn the fire so you can get ready for the harvest, that you burn that thing off so that you can plant really good so you can have a better harvest. And I was like, "Well, that's cool." I had not heard that because I don't have a farming background. But all I'm telling you was the words that went forth, the freedom that came forth from that gathering. Again, we usually go an hour. We went almost at 10 o'clock. So you have like 2 hours more than our normal time. Unprecedented, right? And this all happened at a gathering. Life was imparted, words of encouragement were imparted, but it gave me a new definition of a gathering. It broke off some religious stuff because what I heard at the end of that thing, which I couldn't describe, all I knew was there was fire here, was it brought me back to the scripture in Acts. I want to read you the scripture. And the Lord corrected me on this because I had always read this as this happened in the past. And hopefully you too will be, you know, you'll look at your gatherings different. More importantly, you'll respond to the voice of the Lord and act accordingly. You'll be a doer of the word and just not mere hearer and just self-quarantine yourself. But in the midst of this, I was going, God, what is this? What's going on? He reminded me of Acts chapter 2. And I was like, I had my online Bible. And Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, I've read this 1,000 times, more than 1,000 times, just because I've been to Bible school. But it says in verse 1, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered one place. And I read that in my religious mindset. I was, Lord, that was way back then. That was the birth of the church. You know, yeah. And the Lord said, do not lock this to a day on my calendar. This kind of stuff can happen. The fire, the life, the joy, the worship, the Holy Spirit, the wind. All of this is not locked into a day. It's locked into when my people come together. Hear what I'm saying. I was getting a new definition of believers gathering. Not locked in the day of Pentecost. Oh, let's wait for that day. We can't wait till we go back in time. No, 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 no. The Lord was redefining gathering. This can happen when we gather in His name. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, what? I had reserved that one time in history where the church was birthed and 120, got filled the Spirit and flames of fire. You know, that was reserved for one time only. And I was just rebuked at that moment that's not a one-time event. That can happen. God can happen whenever His people come together. And so 2 weeks later, I'm getting these, on radio, on YouTube, on Facebook, on television, don't gather. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I gathered and the fire came and the fire was released. So what? So I was taking this as almost a demonic attack not to gather. So I want you to hear. Let me read you Acts chapter 2. And you go read it to Acts chapter 2, 1 to 3, and pull off the religious blinders that this only can happen a long time ago. Nope. This can happen whenever you gather. So let's gather. On the day, I'll skip that. All the disciples were gathered in one place. Come on, one place, not sequestered in their homes. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. We were there, seated in heavenly places, and the wind was moving the worship team and moving and encouraging and empowering people in the worship team, in the building, all over the place. Then all at once, the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. We were being filled and refilled and flowing with the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing time. That happens when you gather, not on one special time of the year or one special time on God's calendar. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their very eyes. I didn't see the fire, but I felt the effects of the fire. And when I saw the fire going to other geographic locations, and I know for a fact, if we had not gathered and partook, enjoyed, engulfed, dove in, that the fire would not have been dispersed to other places. You need to gather, not just for yourselves, you need to gather for others. And again, the other scripture, that 1 Corinthians 14:26, go look at yourself, but this is the day. Let us not react in fear or just honor men's words. Let's honor our Father's words, right? He says, gather together in His name. In His presence is the fullness of joy. There's something when believers come together. I don't think it's possible. I'm not trying to neglect technology. I don't think we relate that well to technology as a people. I think we're just now getting together where we can brother and sister be united in Christ. But it takes that coming together physically. Is it possible to do it spiritually? Yep, it's possible. But there's something about on the day of Pentecost 120 plus gathered together. And then a few weeks ago, a handful, more than 10, wasn't 50, 20 plus, maybe 30, gathered, and the fire came. So let's respond to the Lord. There are more benefits to gathering than to not gathering. So seek the Lord. Don't be seeking men. Don't be tuning in to your cool radio station. But there's life in His presence. And there's life in the body. Every joint supplies. There are solutions happen or come up when we're together. In His presence, when we're together around Him, things happen. All right, go for it.